Hi, this is Millie, and welcome to the Escaping Narcissistic Mothers podcast, where you'll find the validation and love you've been looking for. I can help you navigate the difficult waters of going no contact. Please follow me on Instagram at Escaping Narcissistic Mothers, all one word. I hope you're having a good day and a good week and a good month so far. We're nearing the middle of August already. Every time I record a podcast, I can't believe what I'm saying as far as how the dates are. I mean, I was talking about my daughter's birthday, and which is at the end of July. Now we're close to the middle of August, right? And today is August 9th when I'm recording this. And I hope you're doing better than I am. I would normally not be at home right now. I'd be at work, but I neglected to go to the doctor when I was having some symptoms. I was having nausea, digestive trouble, severe back pain. And because I've been used to, I'm almost 49 and I'm still in that place where I dismiss my symptoms as anxiety, or, you know, the anxiety could have caused the back pain, the stress, right? Well, I work part-time, so I left work early on Thursday because I was feeling so ill. I really was. I was very nauseous. I was lightheaded. I was really not feeling good. I left early. The entire weekend passes, so we're talking Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I don't work Monday either. And Monday, I thought I felt a little bit better, so I said, I'll be fine tomorrow. Well, I was wrong. I went to work and I started to feel worse and worse. I couldn't stand for very long because of the back pain. And I told my boss, and you know, being that I've only been there 2 months, terrified that, you know, I could be let go for this. Now, they really can't legally. I could fight it, but, you know, I won't. My boss is a very nice man, so I really don't think so. But look, this is the kind of thinking that we have to fight against on a day-to-day basis. I went I called my doctor. She wasn't there. They told me to go to a walk-in clinic, and I did. And I have a urinary tract infection. And they're saying I have sciatica, but I really think that because of when the pain started, that the urinary tract infection is what's causing the back pain and the nausea and all the other symptoms. So I am just starting antibiotics now. And now I can't go to work because I can't stand for very long. I have to wait till this passes. That's what happens when we don't listen to our bodies and we listen to the voice in our head. If you had a mother like mine that says, oh, that's nothing, when it could be something. So I spent 5 days suffering, not knowing that I had a UTI because the symptoms weren't the typical UTI symptoms. And ladies, I don't know if men even get UTIs that often, but women do. And I didn't have the typical, that urgency and pain to urinate. I didn't have any of that. Yesterday, I kind of noticed that I had a little bit of that symptoms, but of those symptoms. Well, anyway, just catching you up there. That's not what my podcast is going to be about. I want to remind you to please buy me a coffee. I've had people, and I'm so grateful, buy me 5 coffees. and another person bought me 3, and I've had several buy me 2. I am so grateful for that, especially right now since I'm missing days of work and I'm part-time, so I'm really going to need a little extra push in money. That I'd really appreciate if you bought me a coffee. If everyone that listens buys me 1 coffee, that would be so helpful. Anyway, all right, I'm done begging. I'm done. Okay. What this podcast is about is a question that I get all of the time. I have people that join my Facebook group and maybe probably heard my podcast. I it seems that things how they're filtering with my social media is podcast to then they join my Instagram and then maybe my Facebook group. I believe everyone who joins my Facebook group has come from this podcast. So again, please join the Facebook group. It's private, it's secure. Nobody's going to see your posts. Okay, and me and my moderator are very careful about letting people in who are suspicious. Okay, so moving on. I get the sometimes on Instagram or not Facebook, but Instagram, I get a DM saying something to the effect of, you know, I'm very low contact with my mother. I don't really know if she's a narcissist. And I think what they want is the validation from me to tell them your mom is absolutely 100% a narcissist. Now, here's a contradiction that I find awful and infuriating is the fact that a doctor, a therapist, a psychiatrist cannot diagnose someone that they are not treating. And narcissists will never go to a psychiatrist or a therapist, so they will never be diagnosed. Narcissists are diagnosed by the family, by the person that's being their target, the scapegoat, right? By us. We diagnose them because we don't have a choice. There's no other way to diagnose a narcissist. All right, there is like a very small percentage of narcissists that are willing and open to go to therapy and to accept the diagnosis that they're a narcissist. And in that case, I even wonder if they really are a narcissist or if they're just a jerk and they're a self-aware jerk, you know? Because narcissists just don't think they're wrong, ever. They don't think that they could be a narcissist, for sure, you know? So I cannot diagnose your parent. First of all, I'm not there. No matter how much you tell me about them, I'm not there. I have no idea if their traits are narcissistic traits, because someone could have high traits of narcissism and not be a full-blown narcissist. Remember, it's 9 traits and you have to have 5 in order to be considered a narcissist. I'm not going to go through the traits today. I've done it so many times. Go back and look through my podcasts. I've made many, many on traits of narcissism. But what I always say and what I will say today and talk about today is, do you really need that confirmation that your mother or father is a narcissist in order to do what's best for you? Do you really need someone to say, yes, they are a narcissist? Even though whether they're diagnosable as a narcissist or not, they're making your life difficult, a living hell in a lot of cases, and unbearable. It isn't about the word narcissist, even though I've said it 20 times in the last 2 minutes. It's about how they treat you. And how your life is. If your life is uncomfortable, you're anxious, you're confused, you can't seem to get ahead in life, right? You can't make a decision on your own. You're too afraid to leave. You're afraid that everyone's going to hate you. This is validation, okay? I don't have to tell you that your mom or dad is a narcissist. This is the validation that you need. The reason you stay is just you feel guilty. Maybe they're not toxic, so maybe I'm the bad guy. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay? When I was doing EMDR, and someone actually asked about this, and I want to say something. EMDR, please don't have an opinion on it without researching it. EMDR is not some scary voodoo method to get you to remember things you don't remember or to make you like confront like a monster. Yes, you do have to dig deep. But the digging deep has to do with what is the underlying feeling that you have from this particular situation, okay? So one thing that I worked on with in EMDR was my father. And the day that I was 18, and the backstory doesn't matter that much. The bottom line was that I was having a fight with my mother that she caused, of course, and my dad was lunging at me with his hands in the shape of my neck. In other words, he was going to choke me. And I had to do EMDR for that because that's very traumatic. All right, my father, I mean, there's no other way to put it, was his intention to kill me? He was going to kill me. There's no other way to put it. I'm not even scared anymore about saying things like this on this podcast. I used to be terrified, right, that when I first started this podcast of saying something like this and a family member would hear it. I hope they freaking hear it because it really freaking happened. And if you don't believe me, listen to the other podcast where I talk about it because the story is the same. And that's how you know when someone's telling you a truth or a lie, because the story stays the same when it's true. My father was going to choke me. And my mother got in the way, and I really don't understand why, except for the fact that maybe she thought ahead a little bit and said, if he chokes her, he could get in a lot of trouble. He could have gotten in trouble if he touched me that day. But the truth of the matter is I wasn't going to do anything. That's the truth. And I'm not saying that for anything, but I was too scared at 18 to do anything. Anyway, so I did EMDR. So the scary part that people think is involved in EMDR is that you have to dig deep and you have to like face the monster. Yeah, you have to be in the moment that happens to you. But the hard part, and it's not scary, it's just difficult to get there, is to figure out what you were really, really feeling at that moment. And I started with, I was confused. I didn't know what was happening. I didn't know why he was doing that. I didn't understand. I thought, I know that he knew what the fight was over, that I was right, my mother was wrong, but he still lunged at me. I was very confused. So that's what I kept saying. And that's surface level, but believe it or not. Because there has to be if it's traumatizing you, there has to be something bigger than I was confused. And it turns out, and that was an aha moment for the rest of the time I did at EMDR. The aha moment is I cannot do anything right. Everything I do is wrong or bad, and that is really what I have believed about myself my entire life, that everything I did was wrong or bad. I could give you any example of anything that I have talked about on here before, and that is the underlying thing, is I am bad. I am wrong. I am immoral, right? And I hadn't said immoral, but a lot of the issues or the things that I was punished for, put down for, shamed for, was more morality issues that were really wrong, that they were wrong about, right? The projection thing, right? What I did wasn't even close to what they did, but I was the one that was immoral in that situation. Not them, you know, my mother, of course, she was the queen of this. But going back to validating your feelings. So I brought that up because if you feel like everything you do is wrong or bad or immoral, or you're sinning, that's another word for being immoral, then that's the validation you're getting from me. And it doesn't matter if your mother or father is a narcissist technically or not. It's how they make you feel that really matters. It's not whether they are or not a narcissist. So if let's say you happen to go to therapy with your mom and they fool the therapist, or they don't fool the therapist and they tell you, well, they do have some toxic traits. They do have some traits that are not good, but I wouldn't consider them a narcissist. I saw some empathy there or something, you know, they tell you something. And, or they say they seem to care about you. And you walk out of there, are you going to let them continue to hurt you? That's the question you have to ask yourself. Does it really matter if they're a narcissist or not? I mean, look. Remember, I've gotten a lot of my information, of course, from personal experience, but I also watch Chris Godinez on YouTube, and I watch the clips that I see on Instagram and stuff of Dr. Romney, and I've actually watched full videos. Dr. Romney's really great when it comes to describing a narcissist, a psychopath, right? That kind of thing. But Chris Godinez is more the every person's, you know, narcissistic therapist, right? It doesn't matter. It does not matter if your parent is technically, by the book, a narcissist or whatever else, but borderline personality disorder. And again, please don't come at me because I mentioned borderlines. Toxic borderlines, not, you know, border. I know that borderlines are, the tendency is to harm themselves, but there's toxic borderline personality disorder. It's on a scale. If they're on the higher end of it, they have traits of narcissism and they're toxic to other people. There's someone who was, I think, in my group, I don't know, but who mentioned that her mother was borderline, narcissistic, and bipolar. So, you know, just one mental health issue on top of another. You know, that must be difficult, right? And a lot of us may consider our parents to be narcissistic, and really what they have is one of the other issues and they're on the toxic end. You know, I've many times wondered if my mother was borderline, but she, no. No way. My mother was never the type to look at herself and be mean to herself. And that's what borderlines are. Like, borderlines hurt themselves more than they hurt other people. Even on the toxic end, that's where it starts. And my mother was never like that. But it doesn't really matter. It doesn't. It does not matter. Again, back to the example that I gave you. If you walk out of a therapist's office and they tell you, yeah, they have toxic traits for sure, but they're not a narcissist, are you going to say, okay, I'm going to let my mom keep hurting me, or dad, keep hurting me, keep abusing me, keep manipulating me, keep controlling me. I'm going to let them continue to hurt me, and I will forever be their slave and never have my own life to live and never be happy and free. No, that's not what you're going to do. Okay? Remember, I'm not a therapist, but this is my experience. If a person is toxic, they're toxic. If they're toxic just to you and great with everyone else, which narcissists are, right? Anyway, but they're toxic to you no matter who they are, a coworker. With a coworker, you have to learn to gray rock, right? If it's your boss, get out of there. If it's your mother or father, you need to protect yourself. Because these are people who have influenced you since the day you were born. They made you who you are. And unfortunately, what we tend to be is broken, frail, hurt, angry, confused, dependent people. I know, I think about one thing. I think about how life is unfair. Life is unfair because you and I did not deserve to have the mothers that we had or the fathers that we had. We didn't deserve that. We deserve to have a loving mother who wanted the best for us, who was our cheerleader, who encouraged us, who let us be independent, who let us try different things, who didn't manipulate us so that we did exactly what they wanted, when they wanted, how they wanted it. Who didn't put us down because it was easier to manipulate us. Who didn't wake us up in the middle of the night or if you're taking a nap because it's easier to manipulate someone who's tired. Who didn't talk about us behind our backs. That's not what we deserved. Because we were babies. Not that I'm saying that if you were in a romantic relationship with a toxic person, that you deserve that. You don't deserve that either. And I was there too. But being born into it, that wasn't a choice at all at any point. Again, not that sounds like you make a choice. You get involved with a narcissistic romantic partner because they fool you into thinking they're someone else. And then you see their true colors, but you don't really see it. Because they can, you know, they do the whole trauma bonding thing and you don't really see it. Because there are times when they treat you, the highs are so high that you don't see the lows. You don't want to. I get that. And I know that because I've been there. I was married to one, which it's been only recently. And I still see things and I go, oh my God, that, you know, he really is toxic. I heard on, I don't know where it was, if it was TikTok or, you know, I know TikTok's not reliable, but this made sense to me. Someone who was saying that one way that a narcissistic partner can be abusive is by walking into the house at the end of the day, right, when they come home from work, and they don't say hello to you. They say hello to everyone, the dog, the kids, and they ignore you. And that is my ex-husband to a T. And that really hit me. I'm like, yeah, I know. It's, I don't know how I didn't, you know, in the process of me figuring out about my mother, I didn't really see my ex-husband in the same light because they're so different. That's another thing. I try here to validate you guys, but our experiences could have been vastly different. And still, your mother and my mother could both be toxic in different ways. Right? Not everybody's mother is a covert narcissist like my mother. Not everybody's mother was the kind to do things underhandedly so that you don't understand or have a conversation with you where you walk away and you're like, wow, what was that about? Why do I feel so confused, right? Be using word salad and changing things and telling you that your memories are wrong. That's covert narcissism. Some of you had narcissistic mothers that hit you and abused you and screamed at you. That's not so covert. That's very overt. That's very out there. But the bottom line is this. You don't need a diagnosis. The only person you need is you. Take a good look at your life. Take a good look at your inner self. How do you feel about you? If you feel badly about you, you have to figure out why you feel the way you do about yourself. What is your inner dialogue telling you about you? What are you saying to yourself constantly? Do you start a new job, and think, I can't handle this? I'm a fraud? I'm not qualified to do this? Because you just failed right there because of what your inner dialogue is saying. And that inner dialogue may not be yours. Your mother or father may still be in your head and you have to get them out. Or whomever, your ex-partner. If you look in the mirror and you hate what you see, that's not good. You have to figure out why you hate yourself. Why you don't like your body. You know, we all come in different shapes and sizes. I am overweight. And it's funny because this is the first time I'm ever going to say this. First time ever. I'm overweight, but I don't hate my body. I don't. And look, right now I'm sick, right? So my body's not really cooperating with me right now. But I don't hate my body. Why? Because no one's telling me I'm too thin, I'm too fat. You look, because I lost a lot of weight when I got divorced 17 years ago, however long it was. I lost weight, I got real thin, and then my mother criticized me for being too thin. You look like you're sick. You look like you're sick? I never looked better than when I was like, you know, and I'm not saying anything about that, but for me, that was a good weight. I looked healthy. And what she hated was the fact that she knew I was getting a lot of attention from men. And I was. But that's another story. I could do a whole podcast about hating men because of that. But that's another story. Not all men, but some men. But I don't hate my body. I don't, you know, yeah, I wish I was thinner and healthier, but I don't hate myself. Right? I don't hate myself. We have to think about what's going on in our own minds and who put it there. And then we have to remove that person, and then we have to work on removing the inner dialogue or monologue that's going on. Because that's not really you. We're not naturally meant to hate ourselves. If we do, it's for other reasons. Someone else is influencing the way you think of yourself. 100%. It's someone else. Right? And getting to a point where you love yourself again, that's a hard journey. It is. I couldn't work because of my anxiety. The anxiety being, I can't do anything right. I'm trapped in a job and I can't do this. And I can do it. I have been doing it. Unfortunately, I've gotten sick, but, and I like what I've been doing. There's nothing wrong with that. You know? So I hope that that was helpful for you guys. I cannot diagnose your parent, no matter how much, and I said that before, no matter how much you tell me the experiences you have, I can't diagnose and say, yeah, your mom's a narcissist. You are the only one that can come to that conclusion. But is it necessary to come to that conclusion? Let me put it this way. I would still be here right now, regardless of the fact that I figured out my mother was a narcissist because I looked it up, because I did like many of you. I Googled adult daughter that doesn't get along with her mother, and the word narcissistic mother came up. And then I researched narcissism, and 100% my mother fit, you know, 8 out of the 9 traits, maybe all 9. But it doesn't matter, right? I would still be here. Because the things that she did to me were awful. Just like the things your mother or father did to you. And I would still be here. The day that I went no contact, I didn't know what narcissism was yet. Not really. But I knew that my mother didn't tell me that they had power after a hurricane, where my husband and I didn't have power, and my husband was feeling sick from the heat, and we had to get in my car and drive around, and we found a hotel room and spent $700 that we did not have, and that was the beginning of our debt. That was the beginning of our debt right there. It doesn't matter if you can call your parent a narcissist or not, because they are or they aren't. Remember, they're never going to be officially diagnosed by a clinician because they don't go to therapy. I am one of those people who threatened my mom several times and should have followed through, but I didn't. Before I knew anything about this, when my daughter was little, I would tell her, if you don't go to therapy with me, you won't see your granddaughter. And because I knew that me saying you won't see me was not going to do anything, which is really sad, right? That threatening to take myself out of her world wasn't going to do anything. I had to threaten her and my daughter. That sucks, right? But it didn't work. She didn't go. She never went to therapy. And I expected her to go on her own. And I said that before, but it's a mistake. I told her she had to go to therapy, and she didn't. Instead, she went to her regular general practitioner, told them that she was depressed because of me, and they gave her antidepressants, and she couldn't stay on them because she was getting nauseous. But when I was put on an antidepressant, I couldn't stay on it because I was getting bad side effects. She would criticize me because the hypocrisy is real deep with them. I didn't know my mother was a narcissist the day I went no contact. But I knew that my mother wanted me to, at the very least, feel uncomfortable. At the very at the highest thing that she wanted, the worst thing, she wanted me and David to die, which we weren't going to die, of course. But she wanted us to be so uncomfortable that I don't know what she wanted me to come begging. I'm really not sure. I'll never know, and I really don't care. But I didn't know at that point, but I knew I didn't want her in my life. That was the day, September 14th, 2017, 4 days after Hurricane Irma, I went no contact with my mother and my father. That day was horrible. There are pictures of that day because we happened to stay at a friend's house because he was offering and no one else had accepted. And I said, why don't we just stay at his house tonight because it's too hot in our house. And he had these dogs. So there's pictures of me with these dogs. They're licking me. And you know, any of you who have fire sticks, that if you're not, you know, you leave, you're not changing or you're not watching something, that it goes into these pictures or you could set it up. And pictures from that day come up all the time. And I keep telling my husband, I don't want to see those pictures. Because those are pictures taken on the day that I realized that my mom wanted us to be uncomfortable. And I'll be nice about it. All right, guys. I hope that that podcast was helpful. I hope that I was able to validate your feelings without having to diagnose your parent. Because if they are making you feel horrible about yourself or manipulating you or doing things, or you feel dependent on the parent, that is a clue that something is wrong. Because if you are an adult, and I don't mean a young adult, I'm talking, if you're in your above 25 and you feel like you can't do anything without mom's consent, something's wrong. Something's not right there. Okay. All right. I'm going to end it there. I love you guys very much. I really, really do. I hope that this is helpful to all of you that are confused or that don't want to let go of the bad situation because you're afraid that you're wrong and they're not a narcissist. Because it doesn't matter if they are or they aren't. What matters is or how you feel, how they make you feel. That's what matters. Okay? I love you guys. And until next time.